Another fun game for the Sabres. This time they fall in the shootouts. I don't think we can complain about the shootouts since they won the last one, but we'll go through everything we saw in Sabres Capitals. And also one thing I was expecting in Sabres Capitals that we did not see. That is coming up on Locked On Sabres.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports, Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin. Coming off a Sabres loss to Washington 4-3 in a shootout where Jordan says that the Sabres looked like the Lightning for 5 minutes.
They did. When they took the lead in the second, they looked like the Lightning. They were all over the Capitals. Laviolette had to call a timeout. He looks flustered. And we'll always have that. We'll always have that moment.
We'll have those 5 minutes. But the Capitals do come out on top. We will break down the goals from this game. Credit cake and blame pie coming up in a little bit. We've got some stats for you as well, although not advanced stats. Natural Stat Trek has been shut down. It's been crashed for a little bit here. Now, all those people, they're flying to the website for those advanced stats. The servers can hold it. I'm sure that's what the problem is. But 4-3, Sabres were outshot in this game, 40-23. Most of the game was controlled by Washington. But the five-minute stretch Jordan mentioned, there was another stretch in the third period, actually a lot of the third period, where it seemed to me that the Sabres were the better team and were even dominating Washington at times, cycling it in their zone. But for the most part, this was Washington's game. I felt like they should have won it, and they come out on top in the shootout. So we'll go through all that coming up in just a little bit. But before we get to any of that, I'm just gonna throw out there, and it wasn't only me. In fact, Anthony of Expected Buffalo seemingly was on top of this as well. He tweeted out yesterday morning a GIF of the Sabre goat head logo on the Jumbotron when like the smoke was coming out of the ears and like they were zooming in on it. You know how they would zoom in on it during the TV broadcast? He tweeted out that GIF and then a watch because even he – I'll read what Anthony tweeted because it basically encapsulates my thoughts on what last night was throwback night. Last night was throwback night in the arena. And I had kind of picked up the scent of they were going to announce those reported or rumored red and black alternates for next season. And they were going to do that against the Capitals. And Anthony tweeted, either they realized half of Sabres Twitter knew their plan and changed the release, or a lot of people had some really bad intel tonight, or they're saving it for a win. I don't know. But I went to that game last night fully expecting that they were going to announce the black goat head alternate for next season that got rumored last month, and they didn't do it. So I'm like, I kind of want to hold off on crushing them because they were supposed to do it for next year, it seems. And are they still going to do it? Has something changed? I don't know. And I don't know what I'm really teeing you up for here. I'm kind of leaving you in no man's land on what to talk about here. But I guess it better happen. It better happen.
Yeah. I was, before we were doing the show, I was commenting the jerseys that they did wear today. I love these classic jerseys. Beauties. I think that they should add them to the rotation. I get kind of bored with the Sabres only have two jerseys, so we should add another one. And I would love for them to add the 90s ones. I think that, I mean, the Sabres have done a better job this year at trying to be more fun with the fans, giving all the players goal songs that they get to have, that all the people can look like, oh, why did this player pick this? Like, they added that fun aspect to the experience. You've been to a couple games. I don't know if you've seen anything else, but I feel like they've been better at hearing the fans. And this is like the last thing that they would need to do. Like the last big thing is to get like the people that grew up with the 90s to get them to get a uniform that they want.
Yep.
And that would just be like, I feel like they will. If where there's smoke, there's fire. Like if you're hearing stuff or you're hearing rumors, like I have no reason to believe they're not going to do that. It just makes too much sense. Like, and it's an easy decision. It will sell jerseys. Like, I don't know why they would, like, there's not really a good reason not to.
Do you think you would have enjoyed throwback night with all the 80s stuff? And do you know the Rock'em Sabres anthem from like the early 80s? Do you even know that one?
No.
Oh, we're going to, can I play it here on the podcast for Jordan and get his reaction live? I think I have to. All right. Well, this is
maybe Nate, I do. I might not know it by the name.
I maybe not. I didn't know it until yesterday. Apparently this was their theme song in the early 80s when, like, you know, Will Perreault was still hanging around and, you know, who was their goalie? Like they had like Andre Savard. I think back to guys from like our Sabre World Cup. So they did like the 80s theme going into the game. Then they did like a red and black intro going into the second period, which was super cool, like video presentation. And then there was a slug one in the third period. And like, oh, the chills, especially with that third one when they were showing highlights from 07 and even like Vanek and Miller and stuff. This is, let me know if you can hear this because I didn't test this beforehand. Rock'em Sabres. Jordan has never heard this before. Rock'em Sabres. Coming on strong. You know we're skating for the time. Pretty good. Back where we belong. Here's Alfred Trepti's goal. Sabres goal. Getting out. Gerald Vampiro. Will be on me. The work that has to pass and shoots his goal. All right.
Jordan, let's go Sabres, they were saying?
Rock'em Sabres.
Oh, Rock'em Sabres.
No, all right, your thoughts.
Like the chant at the end, were they saying, let's go Sabres?
Oh, I think let's go Sabres. Is that what you're going to nitpick and be mad about? Is it wasn't let's go Buffalo?
Well, did we not figure out that let's go Buffalo is a far more effective chant?
Maybe not. I don't know when that started. Was that always the case? Maybe it wasn't. Did they have chants in the 70s? They must have.
Oh, I would hope so.
I don't know.
I mean, did they have chance? Like, I love like the old hockey pictures where you have the people with like the top hats, like waving like handkerchiefs around. Stuff like that.
I don't know. The handkerchiefs around there. Is that where the towels started? But yeah, it was a cool night to be in the arena with all the throwback stuff. And like even that, like that I didn't know existed. But the red and black with the Hurricane 2000 theme behind, oh, just every time, goosebumps. All right, let's get to what actually happened in the game. That's coming up here. And I have been a pretty good authority. I would be stunned if they do not announce these red and black uniforms at some point this season. And it's going to happen for next year. I'm 99% sure that it's still going to happen for next year. We'll talk about some of the things that happened in Sabres Capitals. We'll break down some of the goals. Some credit cake and blame pie we'll throw around. And neither of us cashed in on the Wheel of Blue and Gold because Sidney Crosby did not score against the Rangers. And Peyton Krebs did not score, despite the fact that he had two empty nets on one shift that he had a look at, and he wasn't able to bury it. So we'll go through everything that happened coming up here on Locked On Sabres. Before we do that, want to remind you that we are brought to you by Built Bar. It's that time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions. Not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. Have you tried the puffs? The new brownie batter Built Bar puff is, to me, the best flavor that they have come out with. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors. Yummy cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, all new flavors. So good. These are going to be your new favorites. All Built Bars are covered 100% real chocolate, including the puffs, 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Joe DiBiase here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Before we go through some of the goals, did you agree with my earlier sentiments that the Sabres kind of, I don't say they were lucky, but the Capitals were the better team in this game, and it feels right that they got the W at the end of it.
I thought it was pretty even, to be honest. Like, I think like the Sabres had stretches where they deserved goals that they didn't get. You talked about the empty net ones. I just felt like it was not overwhelming. I never thought the Capitals were dominating us in any way. I don't know. Yeah. Like that was my view. I just thought it was like it was a really good game, really good regular season hockey game. Like it was thoroughly entertaining. But I never thought that the Capitals were thoroughly outplaying us.
Granato did the first period is where they got run over a little bit. The second period was all Sabres, and I guess the third period was back and forth. That's why I'm wondering what the expected goals for was, because it didn't, even though I would say I thought the Capitals were the better team and you would say they were even, I didn't think that it was as wide a gap as the shots ended up being, 40-23. That's why I'm wondering if there's more accounted for there with shot attempts or like block shots, puck possession or whatnot. Cause the Sabres did have the puck there were stretches in this game where they had it forever, including overtime. This team knows how to play in overtime, right? So they do not.
I had a beef with the overtime.
Ooh, let's start there then. We'll go through the goals.
Both teams play that so passively. I know that's just the way the NHL is. Like, let's find a way to not make it fun, because fun I can't control is kind of like what the coaches do. But man, that was so boring. Like, it was so boring. It was so boring. And there are some games where the Sabres play in overtime, it's like chaos. Like, I don't know what it was, but I think that's like a Laviolette staple. Suck the fun out of the game. Like, I just feel like he's one of those guys. Like, I remember when we played them to make the playoffs, and they just like stopped playing because like they wanted the point. Do you remember that? Like, Laviolette's the type of guy that doesn't really care about entertainment product. He just cares about getting the result.
Have you ever seen the Lightning Flyers trap saga?
And he was part of that.
He was the coach. He was the
Flyers coach. Now the Lightning were the trap, and he was like, "All right, I'm just not gonna play if you don't want to play." Right? Like, that was Guy Boucher with the Lightning.
Guy Boucher. Yeah.
So it's he just seems like the type of guy that's like, whatever however I need to get the result, I'll get the result. If it makes you wanna like stick needles in your eyes, like, go for it. But the overtime I thought was pretty dull, just because there was a lot of possession, like pass it back all the way back to your end.
Yeah,
it turned into like soccer.
It did. It really is the right. You're right though. Like, you almost don't want the coaches to coach it out, because what you see in overtime is if one team gets a 2-on-1. Then that causes the other team to get a 2-on-1, and then back and forth it goes. Like, it's
you're
just
playing with
back
fire.
And forth.
Yeah, you're playing
right.
With fire.
Whereas, like, I guess, like, if I'm Don Granato, I think he is approaching it the right way, where he's telling Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, you know, if you feel any pressure, skate it back out to center, gather some speed, and come in with a head of steam into the offensive zone that way.
And then set a moving screen and try to, like,
yeah,
that's what everybody does now. Is like, you just
moving
like
screen, yep.
You interfere with somebody without getting called on.
Yeah, and they almost scored a couple of times, and the Capitals really only scored the one time right at the buzzer. So I do think the Sabres are a good overtime team. I wouldn't have a change on their end. It is just a frustration of the NHL having to kind of make things not fun. But Dahlin especially is so good in that overtime, and I just want him to shoot it just a little bit more. I'll even go as far as to say I'm not hating the Cody Eakin faceoff thing. Because you're getting possession though, right?
Yeah, but then you lose sometimes.
True, but he does go right to the bench after the faceoff.
Yeah,
which is like the smartest thing he could possibly do, because he's terrible. All right,
I'm saying, like, you can't get the people that aren't Cody Eakin to be better at faceoffs. Isn't it a skill? Like, can't you build on skills? Like, do you have to just be bad at faceoffs forever?
No, but some guys just have a natural gift for it, I guess. Could that be right?
I mean, I think you're right. You're definitely right. Like, Cody
Paul Gostad. Paul
has Gostad a skill for it.
Paul Gostad had a natural gift.
Oh, I don't believe that he was actually good at those.
Oh, he was so good. Remember, he even flipped his stick the other way, and he would do it the opposite way. Top five face-off specialists in Sabre history. Number one, Chris Drury.
Yes.
Number two.
Okay, he's actually good.
He was actually good. Number two, Paul Gostad.
Okay, he's a specialist.
Number three, Cody Eakin.
Specialist.
Number four, Vladimir Sobotka.
Specialist.
And
wait, there's nobody better than Vladimir Sobotka at faceoffs?
I just remember the only thing he was good at was faceoffs. It was the only thing.
Larson was good at faceoffs.
Larson was good at faceoffs. He's number five. There's got to be guys from earlier that were, but like, was Don Luce, by the way. Don Luce, by the way, one of the things they had a throwback night was Don Luce, baby. Getting out there, loosening up the arm. He's throwing the t-shirts out into the crowd. He's got a cannon.
I'm sure there are others. I bet Perot had a knack for faceoffs.
Do you think you're betting Perot had a knack for
faceoffs? He had a knack for faceoffs.
I don't know. I bet you Don Luce was the guy that came out for those faceoffs. Those important draws, and Perot was on the wing. But maybe they didn't think that far ahead. All right, let's play. Is this going to be blame pie or credit cake first? You scored first. Let's play some blame pie first. All right, the 1-0 goal by the Washington Capitals. Hold on, I just did a thing that was wrong real quick. Here we go. Okay, so we've got a zone entry here by Washington. Dmitry Orlov. This is the first goal. Stretch pass to center. Anthony Mantha with the little tip. Tom Wilson across to Nicholas Backstrom, and then it's forehand backhand for Anthony Mantha. Who do we want to blame for the Capitals' first goal by Anthony Mantha?
And there's a lot of open space in the neutral zone there. I don't know why the defensemen are so back and why the forwards are so forward.
Where's the center too? Could be asked here.
Bad back check, I would say. 3-on-2 like that.
Yeah, Thompson. Thompson's kind of gliding the moment he hits the blue line. You'll see him come into the picture here. I guess he's not. He might not get into the play anyway, but
Samuelson with a bad pinch on that. But I mean, they're kind of in a bad spot, the defensemen. It was just all around lackluster.
Yeah, Bryson can't let Backstrom do this toe drag move around him though. You can't, man. That little stick out like that. You got to stay in the lane. You got to stay in the lane and not go for the puck like that. Samuelson letting Mantha get behind him. I think I want to blame too. I think I almost want to put this all on the two defensemen. Okay. Is that fair?
You thought the back check was fine?
No, it wasn't. But all right,
Tokarski had no chance.
No chance. Tokarski
in trouble.
I guess I'd go 10 for Skinner and Thompson. 10, and then what, 40 for both Samuelson and Bryson?
I just saw one of our guys went on a change, which is like the worst time to change.
Was that Hinnestra?
You learn that in like as like a little kid.
Yeah.
Don't change when they're on a 3-on-2.
I think that was Hinnestra.
Yeah, that was terrible.
All right, now we move to credit cake, the first goal by the Buffalo Sabres. And this is the 420 mark of the first period. We have got an errant pass along the boards by the Capitals. Skinner enters the zone, hits Thompson's skate. He picks it back up, and he kind of, not a lot on it, he just puts the backhand back across of Ilya Samsonov, and it finds the back of the net. I think we got to go 100% Skinner.
Yeah, like, I don't think this one's.
Maybe we can go 20%, you know, a bad job by the goalie, even.
Yeah. I think these backhands, I mean, he can't see. Like, there's not a lot of. He doesn't really have a good sight line at Skinner. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this one. It's almost all Skinner.
Yeah.
Want to give the goal a little bit.
Is this fine. The most undeserved assist in NHL history by Tage Thompson? He gets the assist on the goal for that. hits his shin and goes back to Skinner.
That's a great assist.
Love when Skinner scores, by the way, when you're in the arena. Nothing gets that crowd pumping like Party in the USA. I mean, he picked a whale of a goal song.
For a guy that measures his whole worth on goals.
Right. We haven't heard whose goal song haven't we heard yet? We haven't heard Cody Eakin's goal song. I don't know.
Mark Pisick has a great one, and you never get to hear it.
That was funny last night. They were doing trivia like they normally do in, on like the arena in between, like during commercial for timeouts. And they went up to some guy, like kind of a younger guy, probably like late 20s, early 30s, about like, he's like, all right, we're doing trivia with whatever his name was. And he just like, he grabs the microphone and he just shouts, shout out to Mark Pesek, like in an empty and quiet arena. It was so funny.
Do you know Mark Pesek's goal song? Do you know what it is?
No, what is it?
It's Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Is it really? Oh,
yes. Like, he needs to score goals. Like,
put him back and forward.
I know. Goals. We need Mark Pisick to just start sniping shots.
Yeah. All right. Second goal by the Capitals. Former Sabre Connor Sherry. He has the puck. He puts it at the point, and it's just a wicked wrister that goes behind. And then the Sabres are just collapsing. They are letting Jensen here, Jensen. Just walk towards, just take a stroll towards Dustin Tokarski and rip it. I mean, there's a lot bad here, I think, right?
I mean, the collapsing defense is
Game. Let me just freeze frame. Look at this pile of humanity here for the Sabres.
I gotta say, I don't think this was Alex Tuch did not have it today or this game. I don't know what it was. He just seemed like a step off. I don't know if he's just like tired or something. I don't know. Or just had an off night.
Listen, but for Tuch too, this is not the way to defend.
Shot. Also, like you're like setting yourself up to get hit harder with the shot.
Yeah. No, I think, you know what? You're right. Tuch and I agree. I mean, he even got taken off Thompson and Skinner's line and was put with Krebs.
One bad game, I would say, like in his, I don't think he's had many moments where I could say like he didn't play well, but I don't think he brought his best.
If you really break it down, once this shot misses, everyone goes to their assignment except Tuch. Colin Miller goes and picks up the man in front. Dahlin goes to the faceoff circle. I think that's where he's really supposed to be. What you need here, he's almost half-assing it because he doesn't know what Tuch is doing. As this puck goes along the boards, Alex Tuch needs to make a beeline for the point man. And what does he do? He stops and he sits in the faceoff circle.
Yeah.
I want to give Tuch like 50%.
Yeah. I mean, the shot was awesome.
Tokarski get anything?
Tokarski? No. I mean, Tokarski covered up most of what he needed to cover up. The guy hit like top corner.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets a piece of it even.
I can't really blame Tokarski for that when nobody's helping him out and the guy snipes it.
All right. How about 50% of the blame to Tuch? What have we got? 50 left? We could just give, I don't know.
The entire collapsing defense.
Yeah. You want to give 10 each around, like 15 each around, whatever that math equates to.
And then, whatever's left for the shot.
You know what? No, never mind. Let's do this. Let's give 20 to Miller, 20 to Dahlin, and 20
to the other guys. I can't really blame. Tage, I can't blame.
Tage does nothing wrong. That's why I don't want to give
Tage. He challenged the shot, made them like loop it around.
He even watched Tage. Tage points. I think he's pointing at Tuch. Like,
go get him.
See? Like, come on, bruh. Come out and get him. Somebody help me out here.
Yeah, it was not Tuch's finest day.
And that was not Tage's fault, so I want to kind of leave him off the hook. All right, we'll go through the last couple of goals when we come back here on Locked on Sabres. Before we do that, I want to remind you this episode's brought to you by Bet Online. After months of playing, college basketball has determined the top teams for the Final Four and will determine this year's national champion this coming week. They'll decide the Final Four this week. They're at the Elite Eight. St. Peter's, baby. That 15 seed. Busting brackets. Taking names along the way. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info, from all the latest odds, contests, and player props. You name it. I think Jordan's got the Bruins today, don't you?
Yeah, the Bruins and the Lightning.
And a parlay or separate?
No, separate.
Gotcha. It's not just hockey, by the way. or basketball. BetOnline's got boxing and UFC as well. All your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin here on Locked On Sabres. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan is at JR Hanskin, where you can what was the tweet you had the other day about the Bills? Damn it. I was going to reference it. There's a reason to follow you. It was so good.
The Matthew Slater one.
Matthew Slater. Right. The Bills, the AFC East graphic should just be four Bills and then Matthew Slater. Something like that.
I mean,
all right.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Let's pick up. We're back on Credit Cake. Sabre goal here, where this is the stretch really where they were dominating, like that midpoint of the second period. And they get a couple of goals. And we'll start with the second goal. Thompson to Cousins in the faceoff circle. Colin Miller blasts a slap shot, and then it goes around into the corner. A good keep in there by Samuelson, and then a good find to get it over to Jeff Skinner, who gets the wrist shot. Good shot. Samsonov gets a piece of it, but it does find its way into the back of the net. Where do you want to start with the second goal by Jeff Skinner to tie it at two?
I want to start with Samuelson. I mean, that's a great keep, and then, like, the calmness to like look around, see Skinner over there and deliver the pass. Like, I just think that was great. Cousins winning that battle in the corner was big to keep the stretch alive. I mean, There's a lot to like about the future of this team. Samuelson gets better and better every day.
Yeah.
He looks better and better every game.
Yeah. He looks great. He looks great. I mean, you would like to think they have their left side of their blue line for the next 10 years with Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, and Matias Samuelson. Yeah. Like, they got to figure out the right
side. I saw a tweet yesterday. I wish I could credit it. But it was the Sabres have what they thought Risto would be.
The Sabres Samuelson is what the Sabres organization thought Ristolainen would be, I think.
Yeah,
was the tweet.
That's so true.
NT Rider 825 on Twitter. He's a good Sabre follow.
So true. So true. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. All right. So I think he deserves, want to go 50-50 Samuelson and Skinner?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. The rest of the guys did just what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and like they were cycling in the zone even before that. So I'm sure there's little plays even before the video we're showing here on our YouTube channel to break this play down that like there's that nice little pass from Cousins to Miller for an open slap shot. And Tage kind of, tying up. That's a nice play away from the puck. You know, Thompson, the one criticism of him in his early career was he had no idea how to play without the puck. And like before the puck is there to kind of like post up Nicholas Backstrom, to like kind of take him out of the play there. Like even that was a smart little play, but I think for the most part, 50-50 Samuelson Skinner is where I'd go.
I can't really figure out what Cousins is going to be. But like I can't really identify like if he's going to be like really, really good or like just like a key, like a cog in the machine guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Still waiting. Jury's still out on him.
I'm gonna guess he's second line center, 50 to 65 points career year. Maybe he gets to 70, and he's your number one penalty killer, and maybe he becomes your faceoff specialist. And he's your watered down Drury, I think. Maybe he becomes Drury. Maybe he could become Drury.
I mean, that's important. Like I'm trying to think of a player comp.
It's tough. Drury might
He's not gonna be Patrice Bergeron.
I think I like Drury for his ceiling. Now for what he probably becomes, where's the middle of what he becomes? That's tough.
I know.
I need a middle.
I guess that's what makes it fun though. That's what makes rebuilds fun, is you get to see project futures of these players.
Vinny
and
Trocheck.
Who knows what we would have thought of Tage Thompson a year ago.
Right.
So it's you never know.
I like Vincent Trocheck for Cousins as a comparison.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, the Olofsson goal to make it 3-2. This is right after that Skinner goal. This is a great goal. So Bryson, Casey little Middlestat. Swing around the back, Olsson with the touch, Casey Middlestat with the great pass between the legs, and Olsson buries it. Where do you want
to
start?
Another one. I'm trying to figure out who they're going to be. But Casey Middlestat, like, what a play. Like, what a pass. That was the highlight for this for me. And Olsson, did he just whiff on, like, catching that? I think he did.
He deserves credit for, like, he's got to go down on one knee and, like, get the shot in. Like, that's not an easy shot, but.
It's good hustle, too.
Yeah. And Bryson, too, even that little swing around back pass. Mm-hmm. I want to give him a little bit here. So maybe, like.
Who made the pass from the side?
Asplund.
Yeah, I mean, it's good all around. Middlestat deserves the most credit with Olsson
being right second. Okay, yeah. So let's see. How do we divvy that up? Let's go.
40-30, 20 for Bryson, 10 for Asplund.
You liked the Bryson pass more than you liked the Asplund pass?
No.
Let's go 15-15 for that.
Yeah, they're both good. I mean, Bryson's play is hard.
Yeah.
Like, keeping it in with the backhand.
Yeah.
Like, that's a tough play.
All right, I accept that. All right,
and the Asplund pass, like they were pretty open,
right? And then there's not really much to break down on the Ovechkin goal. It's just Alex Ovechkin being, you know, the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. But Kuznetsov wins the faceoff against it's Middlestat and Ovi. Just, I mean, what are you, just what can you do? Just bam. He has
41 goals. He's what, 34?
Yep.
41 goals.
435. Do I want to get nitpicky and blame Olofsson for not getting out there quick enough?
I want to blame Middlestat for losing a draw so horrifically.
Yeah.
The guy did exactly what he wanted to do.
And just Ovi, man.
If you're playing on the faceoff, you see Ovi sitting right there in that spot. Yeah. Try to make sure that puck doesn't go there.
Yeah, go anywhere else. Just. I mean,
hey, Tokarski, what are you supposed to do?
It's Ovi, man.
Most Tokarski, of the goals that Tokarski gave up, like, I don't think Tokarski played bad.
Yeah.
I think he played fine. These are all goals of, like, what are you supposed to do?
Right. All right. That's it for us here on Locked On Sabres. They have a Sunday game, a Sunday 5 o'clocker at Madison Square Garden against the New York Rangers.
It's a great setup for the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. The Oscars at night. Also, you know, that could be a good trip for a Buffalo sports fan. If you want to go Sabre game on Tuesday, on Sunday, St. Bonaventure in the NIT at MSG on Tuesday. And then if they win that, then they're in the finals on Thursday. So you could just spend the whole week just hanging out.
I think it's the last NIT at MSG too.
It is. Yeah.
So enjoy it while you can, Buffalo sports fans. Would have been nice to see my Demon Deacons go.
Yeah. Let's spin the wheel of blue and gold real quick before we get out of here today for Sabres and Rangers tomorrow. Neither of us won the last one, which means Jordan is
Crosby still didn't score.
Did not score. So neither did Krebs. So you're still up two on the season though. Jordan's Crosby. First spin. He's got to get a guy who's going to score. Mark Pesek.
Oh my god.
We talked about him earlier.
Re-spin.
You called it earlier though. You said he's got a score.
He doesn't shoot.
It's away too, so you wouldn't hear the goal song anyway. All right. Second spin. He doesn't want Mark Pesek. And he gets Zemgus Girgensson. That's an upgrade.
It's better.
It's an upgrade.
He has moments.
Yeah. All right, my spin now. My champion for Sabres and Rangers will be this guy again.
Krebs again? No.
Oh, Chirp City. So I can pick any. This is what you got last time. Any player with a bird name. By the way, I thought about, should we include the Capitals in that group because of
no
the eagle?
No.
No? There's
they're
no.
Not a capital.
Their logo
is an eagle, but they're the Capitals.
But their logo is an eagle.
That doesn't matter.
I think it should matter.
I disagree.
You know what? I'm going to go with – Who do the Ducks play?
So you get to choose either Saturday or Sunday.
They play the Sharks tonight at 10:30, Saturday night at 10:30. I'm going to go with Trevor Zegras. give me a reason to watch the game a little bit later on, other than betting it, which I'll probably I'll bet Zegras to score at his anytime goal scorer too, just to have some rooting interest. All right, that's it for us. Sabres and Rangers tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. We will talk to you again on Monday. Thanks for hanging out here on Locked On Sabres and making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Talk to you Monday here on Locked On Sabres.